especially when you get the bill. Okay, so I'm going into the Kindle, and we're going to do NTI Hebrews chapter 6, which is on page 403 in the Kindle.
404.
404 in the paperback book. Thank you. You are maturing in the faith of your truth whenever you choose to practice it through the practice of prayer and the letting go of dreams. As you choose searching for truth, you choose to believe that you do not know truth. You also choose to believe that you do not have truth, which means you choose to believe that you are not the truth. But when you lay aside searching by realizing there is no truth you can find that is not within, and you begin the practice of the work that is within, then you have matured and you are practicing your maturity. So that's, to me, that's a super interesting little couple paragraphs, because it's distinguishing between searching for truth and practicing. You know, so I'm sure that most of us, if not all of us, went through a period when we were reading all kinds of books searching for truth, like we were trying to learn it from outside of ourselves. And it says when you stop the search and you just start the practice, you know, the practice of rest, accept, and trust, the practice of opening the heart, the practice of allowing what is to be as it is, the practice of noticing you're struggling for a desire and deciding just to let that desire go. When you start, that's really kind of living it. When you start living it and stop searching, it's saying you've actually matured. And so that's pretty cool. I think a lot of people still think of practice as seeking. But this is saying practice is not seeking. Mm-hmm. Practice is being it.
Yeah.
Right? It's living it.
I think at the beginning, like when I was in that Catholic church, and what you learn there is totally different than this. So at the beginning, you have to, there is a learning process,
yes,
you know, that goes, but then after a while, that's, you have to start practicing.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. All right, verses 4-6. It is possible within your state of maturity to fall back into sleep for a time. But that is only a phase within the state of awakening. It is not possible to lose the maturity that you have gained, just as it is not possible for one who has grown older to suddenly be younger again. When you notice that you have awakened again from another period of slumber and dozing, go back to your practice. Do that which is natural by the maturity of your faith. Practice the state of awakening with joy. So again, it's saying even though we're mature enough to practice, we may at times forget. You know, something may happen where I get so engrossed into that and I think it's so important that I actually forget my spiritual practice. I start trying to manipulate the world or manipulate others or whatever. And it's saying that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's saying as soon as you notice it, at some point you're going to wake up from that because you have matured. So as soon as you notice what you've done, start practicing again. And a lot of times what a lot of people will do when they, I don't know what you would call it, when they fall asleep for a time, that's what this is calling it, so that's what I'll call it, they perceive that they've slipped backwards. And then they judge themselves for slipping backwards. And this is not recommending judgment. It's just saying as soon as you wake up, you're awake. Start practicing. So, you know, if I just, you know, spent some time screaming at people, being angry at people, wishing everybody was different, and then I wake up, the first thing that might happen might be a sudden judgment, and I might feel a lot of guilt. That's where I begin the practice. Right? I begin the rest and accept and trust right there with the guilt. So you just return to your practice as soon as you wake up again. That's all that you do. Verses 7 to 8. The practice of awakening is helpful to you in your purpose of awakening to yourself. Dreams are only delay and distraction. Your progress is steady and cannot go backwards. In your dreams, you only stand still, dozing for a time. So let's imagine that there's something in the world that's very, very exciting to me. And I really kind of forget about my spiritual practice while I'm trying to obtain this thing or obtain this circumstance. What this is saying, even if I spend months doing it, this is saying that in those months, I don't actually lose ground. It's as if, I'll get up and demonstrate. It's as if I was walking along the spiritual path, and then I got distracted, and I stopped. I may stop for months. I may stop for years. I may stop for just minutes, right? But when I'm distracted, I stop. And then when I wake up, I start walking again. You see, you didn't lose anything, right?
We think we do. Yes.
Yeah, we think we lose something, but we don't lose anything. We just stand still for a time and go off in this little dream. But when we come back, any maturity, like, do you think you're going to forget rest, accept, and trust? You could go a year and a half without using it, but when you wake up, it's right back, right? And you just start using it again right where you're at. You don't have to go all the way back and start over again. Everything that you have kind of gained, everything that you've realized, all the practices you've learned, they're still there. And the instant you want to return to them, you're right back where you left off.
But you can, at the same time though, you can refill the cup. Like, we want to be empty.
Yeah.
But during that time that you're on the wrong track, you can refill the cup with all of this stuff that,
yeah,
again, you're going to get, you have to empty it again.
Mm-hmm. All right, so verses, I did 7 to 8, so verses 9 to 12. Everything is you. This is important for you to remember. In remembering this, you remember there is no judge. In remembering this, you remember there is only you, and so there is only freedom. So, whenever we judge ourselves, what we're really imagining is a God or an other, a boss, a husband, a wife, to judge us. And what this is saying is, there's nothing out there that isn't what you are. Now, what you are here, it's referring to your true self, which is beyond the judging mind. It's the awareness. And awareness is incapable of actual judgment. And that which appears to judge the thinking mind is not truth, so it doesn't matter. And it's saying everything is you. Everything has this non-ability to judge. That's its truth. There's no judge out there. And when you're spinning around in the thinking mind, you know, judging yourself, or even if your husband appears to judge you, he's just spinning around in his thinking mind. What you really need to do to be free from all of that is simply get the heck out of the thinking mind and shift back to who you are. When you shift back to who you are, back into, we'll call it the watcher or the observer now, the awareness, it doesn't even matter if your husband is judging you anymore. Now you're just watching it. It pains you when you're in the thinking mind, when you're identified with that as who you are. When you shift into what you are, there's no judge anywhere. There may be a show to watch, but there's no judge anywhere. And so what you want to do is remember who you are, and shift into that as much as possible. In fact, that's a wonderful spiritual practice throughout the day, is to continually shift into the watcher. Lots of things remind me to shift into the watcher. You know, one example that I use a lot are hot flashes. You know, most women don't like hot flashes, but when they started happening to me, I actually loved them because I found that hot flashes remind me to be the watcher. Because watching a hot flash is a lot different than directly experiencing it and experiencing the mind complaining about it. And so once the hot flash would begin and the sweat would begin and the mind would begin, I step back into the watcher. And when I step back into the watcher, instead of the hot flash becoming a form of suffering, it to me, it's amazing. It's amazing that the body could just suddenly heat up on the inside and then start having these little peels of sweat everywhere. And it's amazing that it lasts a few minutes. And then it just stops. You know, it's a whole different experience. And see how there's no judgment in that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's no judgment in that. So when you shift into who you are, there's no judgment in anything. Even if somebody else appears to be judging you, because you aren't judging the fact that they're judging you, for you, there's going to be no judgment in anything. And that's a magnificent place to be, a magnificent way to observe the world. So again, everything is you. This is important for you to remember. In remembering this, you remember there is no judge. In remembering this, you remember there is only you, and so there is only freedom. In your freedom, you express that which is desire. Freedom is the expression of desire. In the state of awakening, true desire is clear. During periods of sleeping, it is weak or totally forgotten, but only true desire is real. Other desires are passing. And this is something we can all test with ourselves, because if we're all still sitting here, if we've made it this far into NTI, we obviously have true desire. Anybody who didn't would be gone by now, and they are. You know, we're down to four people here. Well, five when Wayne's here. But so if we've made it this far, we have a true desire. And when you take the time to get into that true desire, whether you do it through reading inspirational materials, listening to music, walking, meditating, contemplating, looking at spiritual symbols, whatever drops you into your heart, when you drop into your heart, you know without a shadow of a doubt that that's your favorite place to be, right? Nothing compares to it. Not granite cabinets, you know, not anything. And so what this is saying is you can for a time forget your true desire, and you can for a time start thinking granite cabinets are really, really important, but your true desire is still there. And at some point you are going to come back, and when you come back, you're going to remember what's most important. There's a great song by Francesca Battistelli, and it talks about how in the light of this true desire, everything else grows dim, right? Because this shines so, so brightly. And that's why it's called your true desire, because it just outshines everything else. Do not worry that true desire can be lost within the forgetfulness and distraction of dreams. True desire outlasts all distraction. True desire leads from beyond the clouds of forgetfulness. You are led truly always. Continue to follow your way and practice awakening whenever it is in your mind to practice awakening now. So if I do get really distracted by thinking I need something and I spend a lot of time going after it, what this is really saying is that your true desire is actually still there and it's still leading you. Maybe the only way to transcend this particular desire is for me to go after the experience of trying to obtain it or even obtaining it in order to see that, you know what, it wasn't what I thought it would be. And so to true desire, you're actually still awakening, because you're finding out, oh, that I don't want that. And so you're like, you're putting one thing aside. Now to you, you may have just wasted 2.5 years of your life, because you spent 2.5 years chasing after something. It turned out not to be what you thought it was, and now you're back on the spiritual path and, you know, wish you'd never left. But to true desire, hey, that's out of the way now. That's not a distraction now. We got rid of that one. And now we can proceed without it, right? So everything that we do, even the apparent distractions in the end, still work towards awakening. Verses 13 to 15. God's promise to Abraham symbolizes the birth of awareness of light within the mind. And this is really a review of NTI Galatians. But, you know, of course, Abraham was promised that his wife, Sarah, who was 90 years old and childless, that she would have a child. And it's saying that this promise symbolizes the birth of awareness of light within the mind. So her child, you know, like up until then, in the Bible, although we had Noah, you know, Noah loved God and listened to God, but if you ignore Noah, it was like a period of darkness in that nobody knew who God was. Nobody even really knew there was a God, and idol worship was very popular. And then Abraham comes along, and Abraham starts hearing God. You know, and then God promises Abraham that he's going to have a son, and that this son will lead many nations. This is saying all of this symbolizes the birth of light in the mind, which means the awareness of God, or the awareness of that inner voice, or that inner intuition. The period of darkness began to end with Abraham. God's promise to Abraham symbolizes the birth of the awareness of light within the mind. This is the beginning of your own awakening. Awakening continues, spreading within your mind, lighting up many corners that once seemed dark. And God's promise to Abraham is infallible. All corners and recesses of the mind shall awaken to the light. You shall be awakened fully, and dreams will not linger anymore. It's interesting because most people, if not all people, harbor this thought that although you may awaken and you may awaken and you may awaken, I won't. That's how everybody feels, like not me. And this is saying, no, everyone will. That's the one thing that you can count on. Everyone is going to awaken. That's the only end to this story, is waking up from it. Verses 16 to 20. God's promise is alive because God's promise lives as the light within you. It is the true desire of your heart to return from dreams to the state of full awakening. And so awakening is what you do. That is your only purpose in all times and all regions of your world. There are no differences in true desire, only distractions from it. There is no difference in truth, only dreams which are not real. This is really, really interesting because, of course, one thing that's occupying our news right now is ISIS. And let's see, I didn't watch the news today, but yesterday they said that Americans and Europeans trained by them have now returned to their homeland, and they're being encouraged to make lone wolf attacks. Just blow up your neighbor's house, you know, blow up any house, right? Lone wolf attacks to scare the heck out of people. And so this is big news. And you look at that and you think, you know, these people are so evil. Something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. And this says, no. This is helping to awaken the whole world. That's what's going on. You know, this is helping to awaken the whole world. People may start to see through this, it just isn't worth it to hate. Mm-hmm. It's not worth it to hate for Americans. It's not worth it to hate Muslims. For Muslims, it's not worth it to hate Christians. You know, people, everything that is happening is leading to awakening. That is the only thing that can happen. And on top of that, it's illusory. Because it may be apparently affecting the body and things like that, but it is not affecting the life that is. It's not affecting the eternalness that you are. So at another level, nothing is even happening. But everything that happens, even the worst of the worst of the worst, is leading to awakening because people are going to grow tired. What is it that Jesus says in the Beatitudes? He says something like, blessed are those who have grown weary of the world, or something like that, right?
Something. Blessed are the weary, they shall see God, or something?
I'm not sure. I don't remember that, but the idea is, if you've grown tired of the world, you're blessed, you know? Because, you know, you're not going to be messing around anymore. Now you're only going to be focused on God. You're only going to be focused on awakening. And a lot of what goes on in the world, is making more and more people tired of it. And so even it is pointing towards awakening. And in fact, you know, when people personally suffer, whether they're suffering with addiction or whatever, that personal suffering can also lead a person to a point where they're just tired of it. And when they get really, really tired of it, that's what can start the upward trail again. So everything, it leads to awakening, no matter what it looks like. That's the only direction that everything is actually moving in, which is amazing. Forgive the scenarios of your dreams. Look away from them. They are images of the past. Stay focused on the practice of awakening, and the awakening of your one self is hearkened unto light within you. So again, just reminding us, you know, to stay focused on our practice. Wow, the next chapter is kind of long. I feel like we should stop, even though it's a little early for us. I feel like we should stop. I don't feel like we should try to tackle that next chapter. I think it's going to be too much.
Yeah, that is long.
It's long, yeah. I think we should save it for when we're fresh. So, so really what this is talking about overall, chapter 6, it's talking about you may forget and you may slip into, you know, ego again. But as soon as you notice, return, just return to your practice. Just return. So why don't we try that? A just return. Right? So anytime that you forget your purpose for a while, you slip into desiring other things, you slip into ego, and you know, in any way, but then you notice, return to your practice. Just do that. And see it as that, just returning. And I'll go ahead and turn off the recorder.